CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Benham Bentaleblou of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow, to help me interpret Reuters reports about the negotiation between the JCPOA, United States, and European allies, and the Islamic Republic of Iran over the suspect nuclear weapons program, ongoing in a hotel with very good pastry in Vienna. The report we have is that the U.S. negotiator, chief negotiator, Rob Malley, returning to Washington after no result from the most recent talks. The spokesperson for the State Department, Jelena Porter, says of Mr. Malley's return, "Some progress has been made. This isn't going to be a quick or easy process." This in some contrast with a European negotiator, the EU envoy Enrique Mora, who says, "We have continued to make progress, and important parts of a future deal have now been fleshed out. But the most difficult decisions lie ahead. We have, of course, worked based on the principle of nothing is agreed to until all is agreed." That's a very positive statement. So he's looking for results soon enough. This is not only from Enrique Mora, but from all the European negotiators. Benham, I come to you with the puzzle. Are we making progress or are we slowing down? What can we peer into these negotiations? What seems to be the holdup? Because we've been waiting for this for weeks. Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, John. It really does depend on who the we is here. Is it the Biden administration? Is it the American people? Is it the European Union, the EU Council, for instance? Because in this respect, not every problem is a technical problem. In fact, one of the reasons for the stalls or the apparent stall is that these technical problems about restoring Iran to JCPOA compliance, about undoing American sanctions, are not just technical or legal. They're inherently political, and they pertain to each state's strategies towards the other. And I think the Biden administration's early divorce of strategy from this technical component is why I think the pace of the talks have slowed somewhat. There have been some cooling of heads, some tempering of expectations. But nonetheless, most unfortunately, the macro trends, the big principles are that there is no sense, it makes no sense to go back into this agreement, to resurrect this agreement, while Iran is intent on impeding International Atomic Energy Agency access to suspect sites, to previously undeclared sites, while Iran is doing everything it's doing in the region, and while, of course, the deal continues to limp along and is fast expiring and will have little utility even if resurrected. So unfortunately, we cannot peer into the contours of the indirect talks because they're still assumed to be indirect. But nonetheless, we know what the big sticking points are: enrichment, sanctions relief, centrifuge caps, as well as, of course, the slew of sanctions that Trump had put on Iran after the deal. So there's quite a bit there. And I think the American view, the Biden administration's view that Iran would simply be chomping at the bits just to get early relief is mistaken. In fact, Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, has proven that he's willing to escalate further and further and further just to see how much more the Biden team may give. And I think if we see another round, it's going to be exactly because Khamenei wants to test how much more America may be able to give.
Is the presidential election pending in Iran a factor here? Do they need to know who is going to be the next voice of Iran?
Iran's supreme leader, Khamenei, who in many ways is Iran's most important, quote-unquote, voter or decider, certainly doesn't think that the presidential elections will matter. In fact, when you see the candidates that have been approved, if you will, by Iran's Byzantine Guardian Council process, and the Guardian Council is the Iranian body that approves or vets these individuals for higher office inside the Islamic Republic. When you look at them, it looks like Khamenei is done or has dispensed with the fig leaf of moderation. There's no need for someone to charm America or Europe like Rouhani and Zarif. Khamenei believes the sanctions relief is coming, and at this late stage of the game, meaning 4 decades into the Islamic Republic, 8 decades into Khamenei's life, and 3 decades into his career as supreme leader, there is no need to have to play nice with these folks. This is about building a tougher, stronger, and more revolutionary Islamic Republic in the future. So for the Iranian side of the equation, no, the presidential elections will not matter, meaning the Iranians, particularly the supreme leader, won't use or abuse the elections. But I think the Americans are hyper-cognizant of the elections. They're over-focused on the elections. And if there is talk of more relief or interest in more sanctions relief, it's because that June 17-18 window is dangling over the American team, and the Americans fear that if the Iranian political spectrum moves to the right, then nuclear diplomacy will get much harder. And in some weird way, they are correct. Nuclear diplomacy will get harder, but that's because Khamenei is intent on driving a harder bargain either way. And Iran is confident, even though it is hurting economically, in its escalation options. And Iran now understands, through sustained engagement with the Americans indirectly in April, that America is not confident in its escalation options, in its sanctions strategy, and therefore you're likely to see future iterations of these talks.
A tale of two warships. One warship, said to be the largest in the Iranian fleet, sinking, fire, abandoned. Another warship said to be outbound for perhaps Venezuela, perhaps another address. That warship said to be carrying fast attack boats similar to what we see in the Gulf. What do you make of these activities by the Iranian Navy, first to lose a ship and then to send a ship somewhere mysteriously into the future?
Well, we have to zoom out of this and disaggregate Iranian military and maritime capabilities here, because the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy is the one in charge of this fast attack craft harassment activity that the U.S. has suffered from in the Strait of Hormuz and in the Persian Gulf, as well as in other international waters. But the Artesh Navy, the conventional military, the national military, has a grain navy that the U.S. actually beat and bloodied in the tail end of the Iran-Iraq War in the mid to late 1980s. And this navy continues to try to use its frigates as well as some other ships in port calls and other visits as a show of Iran's conventional status and Iran's conventional strength. The point is they haven't been able to project this that much. In 2016, the Iranians had talked about entering the Atlantic Ocean with their conventional navy. They got about as far as Durban, South Africa. They had to make an emergency port call. Since that time, there's been analysis and insights into Iran using oil tankers, larger reconverted tankers, as military ships. And the first ship that you mentioned, that large ship, the Kharg, which left Jask, the Jask area of Iran, caught fire. And people don't know the thesis for the fire. It could be a tale of two S's for a tale of two ships. It could be service issues, basically maintenance-related issues due to the age of the tanker before it was converted, and the fact that Iran's conventional military capabilities and conventional capabilities in general have atrophied, especially its navy.
We have about a minute, Benham. What about the other ship, the one carrying the fast attack?
And the other ship is the one to really worry about. The other ship, Iranian media in January, when it was revealed, talked about it containing suicide drones that could basically form Iran's long-range strike capabilities, basically park the ship somewhere where Iran's missiles are already out of reach to be able to threaten other actors. If it ever does dock in Venezuela, it would be Iran exporting its Persian Gulf harassment policy into the Western Hemisphere. And at a time when nuclear negotiations are going on to relieve sanctions, Iran is intentionally doing these kind of things. It hasn't docked in Venezuela yet. It may turn around. We don't know. But ultimately, Iran is intent on ramping up its bad behavior as it expects relief rather than cooling it off.
Ben and Bentaloglu, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, is watching the slow talks with the excellent pastry in Vienna. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.